CliffCentral.com.
Well, the other day we spoke to Leon Fashfelt. He came in here from South Africa. He's actually talking to us now live from the west coast of the United States of America. And do you remember we asked him about more information and options that you can explore and consider? There are lots of people who want to move to other parts of the world, and I think that that's entirely within your right and probably a good idea if you want to put your money in different places and not have all your eggs in one basket. If you want to chase the American dream, then listen up. We've got Leon on the line now. Hey, Leon, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Gareth. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
Good. What a pleasure. It's nice to talk to you. The last time we spoke to you, we talked about some very general things around the EB-5 investments and what kind of investment you would have to make in order to get your green card in the U.S. People are very interested in this. I wanted to cover today some general options about immigrating to the U.S. What are the first steps someone needs to take if they want to make a move?
Look, Garrett, you know, the EB-5 investment that we talked about last time around, you know, involved $500,000 investment into the United States, and it translates into roughly, depending on what the market does in South Africa, about 7.5 million rand. It's quite a big chunk of change, but, you know, generally there are some other options to immigrate to the United States as well, which, you know, I typically dumb down into three basic options in order to, you know, make it too overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Those are through a family member into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So either a U.S. citizen family member or someone who's a permanent resident that can sponsor you. Those are permanent green cards, and they typically tend to take quite a while, but at least, you know, that's a step in the right direction and some option.
Right.
The second option is obviously through a U.S. employer. So if you have a U.S. employer in the United States is willing to give you a job, there's some challenges surrounding that we can perhaps discuss, or you could instead, if you don't have a U.S. employer, maybe create you know, your own company in the United States as a South African and open up a branch of your company, and under the L visa transfer yourself as the managing director or, you know, some of your managing team over to the United States to start a branch or subsidiary of your company over there. That's a very popular visa that we do quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And then some South Africans that we meet also qualify for an E visa, which is a temporary investment visa, where some of their spouses, you know, are from different countries. So there are certain countries that has a treaty with the United States, like Germany and the United Kingdom and places like that, Australia, that actually opens up some visa, other alternative visa options, you know, temporary visa options for folks from those countries. So if your spouse perhaps has a different citizenry, mm-hmm. then, you know, we can also kind of utilize that. And then last but not least, you know, through the employment, you also get the ability to do this through the investment. And that's what we talked about last time. And this is where you invest $500,000 into an approved immigration project. You invest this money in, you know, like we said last time, this is not where you go buy your green card. You invest this $500,000, you go through mm-hmm. a process wherein you, your spouse, and your kids under 21 all get green cards as a result thereof. This investment has to show it's creating 10 jobs in the United States. So, you know, current administration is very, very keen to have people process through these, through this, obviously, for obvious reasons. And it's also been a very, very popular investment opportunity for South Africans to hedge their rand against the dollar, you know, against all the uncertainty that's going on in South Africa. But more importantly, obviously, also utilize this as a vehicle to go into the United States.
I think that's a very well laid out range of options for people. What I'd like to ask you is a couple of very specific questions. So people often want to know if there's an ideal age, or if age discrimination forms part of the various list of reasons that people might say they can or can't get into a country like the United States. Age, education, medical conditions, how about those?
You know, Gareth, we get that quite often, and it translates, you know, those questions typically translates from other options that are available for people to immigrate to other parts of the world. But United States do not discriminate against how old you are, you know, if you have a prior medical condition. And as far as education is concerned, obviously there are certain visas where an education plays a role, but in general terms, you know, education don't even play a role. But let me just quickly get back to the education part thereof, because it brings me back to one of the non-immigrant work visas that are available. You know, oftentimes people, would get employment in the United States, and there's a very popular visa called, the H-1B visa. that people will then apply for, because this is a specialty occupation visa that allows for a U.S. employer to hire someone who has a bachelor's degree for a position in the United States that require a bachelor's degree.
Right.
You know, the issue with those visas is there's only 65,000 of these visas available, and every fiscal year, which runs from October till October, there's over 200,000 people applying. I mean, you know, the likes of Google and Facebook and these folks who rely upon getting top-notch engineers from all over the world in order to help them grow has had, you know, a great outcry to Congress to increase that number. And so it really also then kind of limits your options as far as non-immigrant working visas are already limited. But, you know, when it comes to it being limited in visa numbers too, it also creates an issue. But as far as education is concerned, you know, some of the investment folks that we help say, hey, look, Leon, you know, I'm a very good entrepreneur, but, you know, I didn't go to school for all of that. Is that going to be an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Age doesn't matter. Education doesn't matter for purposes of investment. Obviously, the investment is just solely focused on where the source of that money came from. And also prior medical conditions. In fact, you know, Gareth, folks are actually, we've had, in fact, someone who, were undergoing, some significant treatment, a cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And through this, EG5 investment, they were actually able to go to the United States to permanently stay there and get the top and the best, medical, treatment, for themselves in the United States.
That's very, very interesting. So in other words, none of those things are necessarily going to hinder your progress, especially if you go with this investment route. Now, how about federal laws? I mean, your lawyer needs to be able to practice in any of those states. What if you want to move to, let's say, Mississippi, or if I want to go to Oklahoma, or I want to go to Arizona? Is that complicated by the fact that the lawyer might not be conversant in the laws of that particular state?
No, you know, and we get asked that question also quite often, you know, because the immigration laws are fairly regulated. It really doesn't matter where your lawyer is licensed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not you guys from Mississippi and you decide to go live in California, you know, all of these applications are in fact centralized and filed in a centralized location and viewed under federal law. So we represent a variety of people, not only from various different states in the United States, despite the fact that we're right in the middle, and me calling you from California. But the long and the short of it is we represent a variety of people from all over. Most of those people we've never even met. And more importantly, we meet and represent quite a lot of individuals and companies from all over the world. And because the laws are federally regulated, unlike in other areas of law, it really doesn't matter where your lawyer is from.
Do you have to get a work visa first, or can you get a green card straight away through a U.S. employer?
You know, that's a very good question. Coming to one of our three options of coming to the United States, we get asked that question quite often, or there's a perception that you need to first have an employer sponsor you for a work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have a work visa, then the employer will then, you know, start a green card process. Logistically, it's typically how things work. Only from the employment point of view, because the employer would like to check you out first, you know, get you a visa, come and work there for a couple of times. And some of those visas, depending on which one you have obviously a limited lifespan. So, you know, either after an accumulative of 5 or 6 years, you'll be done, or 3 years, and then you need to go back to South Africa or switch over, or having had a green card. But because of the complexities with regards to the availability of work visas, you know, we have started green card applications for folks who are still in South Africa. So they say, hey, Leon, I got a guy in Kansas who wants to employ me. And we start, you know, talking about the various different work non-immigrant working visas. And we'll take, as a, for instance, the H-1B. If we were to assume that we were the guy qualifies for an H-1B visa where he has a bachelor's degree coming over here to work in a position requiring a bachelor's degree,
mm-hmm.
that we'll get this application filed. But because of the fact that there's only a limited amount of visas available, we're going to enter ourselves into somewhat of a lottery with 200,000 other applicants, and ultimately end up waiting maybe another, you know, 12 to 18 months before, you know, we know whether or not we were able to get that visa. Well, instead of doing that, you know, most employers, because the unemployment rate is so low over here, they are in desperate need of good people. will start a green card process. Some of those green card processes could take up to 18 months. And by that time, you know, if we were to do run these two paths concurrent with one another, mm-hmm. one for sure is not going to enter into a lottery system, and that is the green card option. It unfortunately takes a while. You know, we need to deal with the Department of Labor under those conditions and show we can't find a U.S. citizen who's willing, able, and qualified to do the job and navigate through all of those hoops in order to ultimately get the guy over here. But this, Gareth, is also a very popular process that we are pursuing with a whole lot of farmers. So farmers are in desperate need of South Africans to come and work on their farms because, you know, the lazy millennial kid today, you know, doesn't necessarily want to go hay bales or, you know, go milk the cow five o'clock in the morning.
And Donald Trump doesn't want Mexicans. He wants South Africans. So that could be a good
thing. That's right. Hardworking South Africans. And so, you know, there's a lot of a lot of farmers here in the United States that just loves the South Africans coming over on the agricultural visa. And then from there, you know, we'll switch them over onto this green card process.
All right. One last thing I need to know. General work visas, are those available to South Africans? Like, let's say you're just a varsity student, or maybe you've just finished matric and you want to go over to the US and work. Are those easy to get?
You know, there's unfortunately a misconception that I get people ask me quite often, you know, I just need some kind of a work visa or some kind of a card. You know, there are certain programs out there, the J visa programs that will allow, you know, a student to come on over as an exchange student, but very limited options. You know, these are something to be explored with the State Department, but it's not as popular as, like, for instance, the gap years you can do in England or in Europe or so on and so forth.
And finally, scams. I mean, there must be loads and loads of people out there who are trying to scam you out of your money. They tell you, oh, if you just transfer your 7 million rand, which is, as you said earlier, a large chunk of change, into this account, then you get your green card. People get very nervous, and they rightly should. I mean, there are probably a lot of scammers out there.
There are. You know, in fact, Gareth, when I visited with you guys there last week, that previous Sunday's report had a couple of dubious South Africans, a mom and her daughter, and I think some of her family, who were convincing some of our fellow desperate South Africans to come to the United States just on a tourist visa, and they will take care of the rest, you know, put them in touch with an immigration lawyer and find them a job and, you know, get them a green card. And a lot of these desperate South Africans would pay whatever money, maybe not 7 million, and try to find some shortcuts in order to come over here. These folks are currently not, the investigation with the FBI is done. They've been indicted here in the United States and, you know, facing some significant federal charges here in the United States. And what I often tell my fellow South Africans, like, look, most of the lawyers, including myself, offer a free consultation. It's a free telephone consultation where at least, if nothing else, I can identify for you, you know, which one of these options that we've talked about this morning is at least an option. You know, maybe there is no option, but I'm going to tell you up front, you know, whether or not you have an option and what those options are, and, you know, whether or not there's a great likelihood of success in one of those options. Yeah. But if there is no options, then it doesn't help you to go spend some money to go find some guy who's not licensed as an attorney in the United States. There is no real agency in the United States, immigration agents like Australia has, right, where you can, you know, go lean upon other fellow South African that says, you know, they've gone through the system before. We get that all the time. You know, well, my buddy went through the system. He knows how to fill out the forms and, you know, he can get me over there. You know, I just pay him $20,000 or whatever the case may be. I sell my car and my house and whatever the case may be and come on over. So there's been some South Africans that's been scanned by this. There's some folks, some good resources out on Facebook, South Africans on Facebook, coming to the United States, that it's also warned quite a lot of our fellow citizens from about these scammers. And it's also just, I think, important as we talk about these scammers, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And having said that, I think it's also maybe important that when you consider coming to the United States, to maybe just interview a couple of lawyers. You know, not all lawyers are the same. And I think, you know, it maybe just behooves yourself, if there is a free consultation out there, to coordinate a free consultation with a lawyer in the United States and go over some options. You'll find that there's quite a few similarities in some of the options that may be discussed. And, you know, one lawyer obviously may be a little bit more creative than the other, But I think at the end of the day, you're going to find that there's some kind of a gold thread running through those. And, you know, just kind of weigh up, you know, the best options of coming to the United States.
Well, thank you. I know we spoke to you guys the other day, but I thought there were a couple of questions we needed to just address in the wake of that discussion, because there were plenty of people who were interested. And I hope that you'll be able to smooth their path if they are intentional, if they have the intent of going over to the United States and making a new life for themselves. Thanks so much for speaking to us. Leon Fashfelt, everybody. You can find out more by going to CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.